All right, 175 in the hymnal, O Come All Ye Faithful. Been under the weather and throats and stuff, and as you can probably hear, I don't have my full singing voice back even after all this time. So thank you for your grace and mercy, and we'll have it for one another here today. Our Old Testament reading for this morning is from Psalm 89, and then I'm going to say a few words about this passage. Psalm 189, that doesn't exist. Let me keep you looking in your Bible for a while. Psalm 89, and then we'll look at selections from it, verses 1 through 4 and 19 through 26. 1 through 4 starting. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Skipping down to verse 19. Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people and said, I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. I have found David my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, "You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior." We sometimes struggle with whether the love of God is big enough for us. And even here on Christmas Eve, we might look at this story of a God who came as a baby and think, well, that's great, but God didn't come for me. I'm too broken or I'm too messed up. I'm too much for God to handle. Our inability to believe in the expansive love of God is the root of a lot of destructive thinking and theology in our individual lives, and also in the church as a whole. Yet, here we are on this last Sunday of Advent with a psalm that once again focuses on chesed, talked about a few weeks ago. It's the Hebrew word for the steadfast love, and the steadfast love, the faithfulness of God. The psalmist uses David, King David, as an example of this steadfast love, or the use of it there. The Psalm of Lament, which we've been working through this whole time, points to the promise made to David, but also alludes to David's failures. This psalm is a reminder that even in the mess of David's life, God was still faithful in him. If you have your bulletin and you're a fill-in-the-blanks person, I just have a few of those for you during this passage. You see, David's legacy was complex. Though he was known as that giant killer, his biggest moral failure, adultery and murder, ended up being the other big thing that he was known for. However, afterwards, he repented and he was called a man after God's own heart. Steadfast love of God shows up in the mess. His love shows up in the mess. The forgiveness David and the promise to his line still exist in the tension of God's judgment. They are still feeling the consequences of sin when they cry out in verse 46, later on in this passage, "How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire?" The psalmist still caps off this verse, this song, by saying in verse 52, "Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen." Even in the tension, even in the mess, God shows up. And Jesus was born into the mess. Jesus was a descendant of this David through Solomon. And Solomon, the second son of David and Bathsheba, the one whom he had adultery with. If you think your story is beyond redeeming, you are incorrect. God sent his son into the line of David, into a messy situation and a messy world to bring salvation, to heal and restore the broken pieces and the broken people. Now, if you have with you the copy of the candle reading today, this fourth Sunday of Advent, peace. If you would, you see the bolden words there that say all. If you would read that, and I will read the reader portion of this. And then I have a helper who's going to turn on our last purple light. Sometimes our lives are messy from our own sin, from the sin of others, from the circumstances of a broken world. God doesn't run from our messy lives. We sometimes believe God's love isn't big enough for our mess. We remember that God's love is steadfast for us. We look back and remember that God didn't flee from the messiness of humanity, but entered into it. We trust that God is faithful to enter into the messiness of our lives too. we remember that God became a vulnerable human being out of great love for humanity, entering into a messy family line to bring about redemption, hope, and peace. Our brokenness is restored to wholeness and peace through Christ working in our lives. We repent, we confess, we lament, and we open ourselves up to Christ because we know he is faithful to forgive us and we can have peace and wholeness through him. We receive the assurance that he is forgiven. We receive the promise of peace and wholeness through Christ. As we light the fourth candle today, we ask God to bring us true peace and wholeness, confessing our brokenness and messiness before God. God did not flee the mess of humanity, but entered into it as a baby, that we might remember that God will not flee from our brokenness either, but that God loves us and restores us in the midst of it. Amen. At this time, I have helpers that have devised who's going to read first, but I have two gospel readings today. The first one is going to be read right now, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and Donna is going to read it right there from her seat.
Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you very much. Our next song today is Away in a Manger. And it is number 176. Don't get confused with 178. I've done that before. It's not pretty when you're singing two different songs and you don't realize it. Away in a Manger, 176.
And fear.
stars for heaven to live with thee there. Thank you. Our second gospel reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Thank you. Before we move on to our next song, I accidentally skipped over a part. One of the important pieces of worshiping God is to put everything in right perspective with Him. And one way that we do that on a consistent basis as Christians is we pray to Him. And we don't just ask Him for stuff. We come to Him with praise, with worship, with questions. But we do lay down our burdens before Him. And if you have your bulletin, you see that we have a lot. We have a lot on our list. We've had longer lists, but and if you have new prayer requests, this would be a good time to share them. But we've updated a few things that have just kind of popped off this last week. You know, we've been praying for Heather Brightwell for a long time now. And after so much cancer treatments, her numbers were not good as of her last test. And so they're looking at what's moving forward with more tests and surgery for her. And unfortunately, Chelsea Deaton, who is the daughter of the pastor of Kenosha Naz, and I think she used to be or is co-pastoring there, was diagnosed with leukemia just this last week. And from what I understand, they went almost straight away the very next day into an intense treatment plan for the period of at least like a month at the facility, and then like 6 months of treatments to help with that. And so, sorry.
Is it a child? No, sorry.
She's a young adult. She's a young adult. She's probably in her 20s or 30s, is my guess. I don't. We've connected a few times, but I don't know her that well. But yeah, that's not great, obviously. So please be praying for her and her family. Wilson, is pastor, has updated on Facebook and things of that nature. But just keep them in your prayers. Jackie's uncle, I missed this last week when we were doing prayer requests. He underwent some brain surgery for cancer tumors to be removed. There were two separate surgeries, from what we understood, and the first one went fine, and then we didn't hear anything about after the second one from her mother. So we're believing that's, you know, no news is good news in that regard. Continue to pray for our district superintendent. Continue to pray for Tim with salvation, and that our church would have a huge impact in our community. Pray for homelessness and the Middle East conflict right now, which is just so prevalent. Is there any other additional prayer requests that we're missing today, or things that you'd like to update? Let me move my pen. Keep everybody physically health in prayer here at the church as well, for sure. You know, this has been a rocky Advent, hasn't it? it's not been your usual Advent. It's not, we can't point the finger at snow, you know, had a little bit of illness and things like that. And that is how life is. I'm glad y'all are here. I'm really glad you're here today. And I'm blessed by that. And I hope that you're blessed to be together today, worshiping. So let us pray and bring our request before God. Heavenly Father, just like the shepherds came and saw and wondered of what God had done at your birth, we come to you with wonderment. Do you care about this mess that we're in, the physical mess that we have? And you answer yes. And so we lay it down before you. We lay leukemia. We lay cancer down before you. We know that you're the only one that can deal with it. We thank you for the medical treatments that can happen. And so we pray for those things to occur. Help. Help, Jesus. We pray. We pray that you would strengthen our district. Help all of our folks, God, throughout every church, to grow in relationship with you right now, today, and continue on. God, we pray for Tim. Continue to lead him towards you. Lord, we pray for the homeless in this area. It's especially obvious in this time, and those people who are supporting the homeless as a regular business, as their regular 9-to-5. I pray that you'd give them extra strength today. We pray for all of these things on our list. We pray for Jackie's uncle. Continue to be with him in his healing. And we bring all of it before you. Help our physical health, Lord, but help our spiritual health, Lord. When we're physically down, it drags our emotions down, whether we like to admit it or not. And those things have an effect as to whether we get back up out of a pit and reach up to you with our hands stretched, asking for more of you, Jesus. We need you each and every day. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So upon that reading that we just had, we're going to sing 167 now, kind of the inverse there, the first Noel. And we're going to do our best, because it's 5 verses long. And I tried to cut one out, and we both decided the whole story doesn't make sense if you do that. So here we go.
And by
and to follow the star where it went. Noel, born is the King of Israel. This star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem, he took it, and there it did both stop and stay. Right over the place where Jesus presents their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Thank you, Jackie. Appreciate it. We journey through 4 weeks together of expecting the coming of Christ. Today, we recognize and celebrate that coming. We rejoice in the one who came, not in the glory of a palace or with riches and power, but as a peasant in a manger. We rejoice in the one who is the fulfillment of hope, the bringer of peace, the creator of joy, and love itself. We illustrate the presence of Christ with us with the lighting of this white candle here, a symbol that light has come into the world and continues to come. Light shone in the darkness that night and continues to shine in the darkness of our world today. If you still have your Bibles handy, we're going to look at a passage a little bit further back than our gospel readings earlier, just one chapter back, in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. And I'd like us to look and think for just a few minutes about Mary. Recently, I celebrated my 40th birthday, and when connecting with my mom about this, I thanked her for that. And if it were not for her, I'd not be here. And of course, dads have something to do with it, of course, but moms carry their children. And I think as Protestants, however, we do tend to take a bit of attention away from Mary, don't we? I believe this is an attempt to counterbalance a perceived overemphasis on her and her spiritual standing before God. I think we can clearly understand that. And we do that overemphasis by those who are not Protestants. But let's strike a happy medium today as we look at Mary and answering the question Mary was. You see, if there was no Mary, there certainly would not be a Son of God incarnate. In this passage from Luke, I'd like to point out three things that Mary was. And you do have a few fill in the blanks there today. Starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at this, at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with God and give child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, three things I want to share with you that Mary was. I kind of gave you what those words are right there in the bulletin, but a few fill in the blanks nonetheless. Mary was honored. She was honored. She received a message from God to explain what will happen and why. There's not many women in their recorded history in the Bible that had angelic interactions. The earliest that I could find was from Genesis chapter 16, when an angel meets up with Hagar as she is running away from Sarai and Abram. She's pregnant with Abram's son, and the angel tells her to return home and submit, and that her descendants will increase. Well, for Mary, she is given this amazing news about a pregnancy yet to occur. And to her, her son will save the people from their sins. She would be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. What an honor to get this heavenly message. So Mary was honored, and as a response to this message, Mary was curious. A natural human questioning of how this might happen, the mechanics of having a baby, but yet still being a virgin. And I always wondered why. I wondered why Zechariah was made unable to speak when he questioned the heavenly messenger of the newborn miracle of his own child, but Mary was unscathed. Well, I discovered the distinct difference is not that she questioned that God would or could be able to do this, but she just simply asked about the logistics. Her angelic visitor spells it out for her. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." It is after receiving that information that Mary shows us that she was accepting. She was accepting. She submitted to God's plan for her life. In this, she agreed to be a participant. Verse 38, I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. She was open to being used by God. Much like Hagar went and submitted to Sarai, Mary submitted to God's will, even when the risk was so great. What were those risks, those messy risks? Could have been divorced, could have been disowned by her family, stoned by the community, and lived in perceived shame her whole life. Perhaps that last one actually happened. But Mary knew the truth. She was blessed to be part of God's plan to save the world. God's plan to save the world came through the obedience and open and longing hearts of people like Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph. Now, while we remember Christ's birth as a little baby in a manger, we also remember the life this child will grow up to live and the ultimate sacrifice that he will make for the whole world. It is at this time that I will come and I will pass out communion elements to you, and we will partake together as one body. It's very important we don't take lightly what we hold here in our hands. It's also equally important that we don't take lightly the portrayal that we see here in the nativity scene. Might not be historically accurate, we get that. I always love to put the wise men 2 years off later. But Christianity would be nothing without these two things, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he didn't come, we have nothing to celebrate and we have no salvation. And if he didn't die for us, we're still under condemnation. We're still under the old law. But because he died and rose again, because of the resurrection, all of this makes sense. All of this, God's perfect plan for you and for I and for the whole world. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat around with his friends and he had a meal. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Preserve you blameless and everlasting life. Take, eat. And be thankful." The bread, of course, symbolizes his broken body. Pass the cup around. And as we drink this juice today, we remember his sacrifice and his blood that was shed for you and for I. as he told his disciples long ago. Take, drink this. This is the blood. This is the new covenant. Be thankful. Heavenly Father, we come at this time of celebration, of worship. But then we're also in the midst of remembrance. Every story has a perceived ending. Yours here on earth, Jesus, we mark it down in that manger. We mark it down where you died. And your blood was shed for us. And then we mark it down where you rose again. And you did so much more in between that, Lord. And you continue to do so much more after that. And even before that. But we thank you in this moment today for your salvation that you give and bring to us, the redemption that we have through you. It is in your name we pray. Amen. As we conclude our time together, we remember that Christ entered the world as a gift of love for the world. He is our ultimate example of hope, peace, joy, and love. He is love. His love was poured out in humility and sacrifice for the whole world. So as we celebrate this amazing gift of love, we also look ahead to share it with the world and to love one another well. The true gift of Christmas is that this light and this love are for the whole world. Talk about it on a regular basis here. It's not just a candle set, right? This church is not just a building that we come and have meetings in. You might think of it as a corner stop lighthouse, guiding people to Jesus. So we want to introduce them to their fresh start in Jesus Christ. We can draw them into our Sunday morning, to our Sunday evening, to our Bible studies. But we want to draw them to Him. The best way we do that is to reflect Him in our daily life and our regular interactions with each and every person that we meet. We're to love our families, our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies, that they might also know of this great gift of light and of love. So we will light our candles today. And as we do, we remember that we bear the light of Christ to the world around us. I do have not fire candles, since we're kind of going electric today. One of them malfunctioned, or else I would have one today too. So if you would like to turn on your candle at this time, and we're going to sing Silent Night. And if you are reading from the, if you need to sing from the hymnal, it is in our bulletin today. Number 171, we're going to do verses 1 and 4. 171, 1 and 4, a cappella today. And as you have that light, make sure you don't hide it under a bushel. Hold it up. Usually the whole room would be dark, but we'd be doing the service at night as well. So, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. And now, friends, rejoice. The Lord has come and is coming again. Know fully that you are beloved of God, and embrace fully the gift of Jesus this Christmas. Then go into the world that is longing for hope, peace, joy, and love, and shine your light among them, that they may know they are loved of God as well, and that the kingdom of God may come to earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. Bless us in your name so that we might be a blessing to others. Help us to introduce them to your fresh start in you. And may we be the light in this world, reflecting yours. In your name we pray, amen. Merry Christmas. You're dismissed. Go in peace.